Well, she's going to be pulling on the boots for Collingwood in the AFL Women's Competition. We've seen the draw come out today. Often she gets referred to, we're just talking off air, the daughter of the great Mike. Kate, as I welcome you, great to have you on the SCN Airwaves. And of course, Dad Mike's going to be part of the new breakfast show next year.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brett. I'm just warming the chair up for him.
pretty exciting for you to get an opportunity. You've had, I suppose, an interesting life in a lot of ways. You played footy as a young girl and you're in that era where you get to about under-14s and the boys would play with the girls and that would stop and there was no real pathway back then. So you probably thought, gee, I've missed out on maybe an opportunity. You go down the tennis track, which was your other great passion, in playing the game into a coaching business. And now there's this opportunity in your early to mid-30s, to have a crack at playing AFL footy. You must be pinching yourself.
Yeah, I never thought this would happen. Even when the league was talked about a couple of years ago, I remember being really filthy that it was happening because it was gone for me. I was never going to be able to live that dream. And then, earlier this year, I got the infamous text message from Gillen, and it just sort of threw my world into a bit of a tailspin, but a terrific one also, because I'm now living out the dream that I had as a little girl.
When was the last time you played footy?
I went down to Melbourne Uni in 2006 and did some training down there and got my first match, and I played at the Peanut Farm in St Kilda.
Yes.
And I think about 20 minutes into the game, someone fell on me and I broke my wrist. So that put an end to things for me, because at the time I was coaching and it was just, it was a situation where I needed my body to be able to, do my job, and there was no avenue, or even there was no talk at that point that this was going to happen. So I wasn't prepared to jeopardise my career for recreational footy. I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, you've obviously stayed naturally fit. I mean, what have you found just now getting into an AFL club environment, and I suppose the step up in training and what you've got to do, but keeping yourself naturally fit, has that allowed you to make quite a smooth transition into what's required down at Collingwood, or have you found, gee, I need to step it up a notch here?
I think being around elite sort of sport for most of my life, the transition wasn't that difficult in a sense of what was required. However, when you go and do it, you realise how challenging it is. I haven't necessarily found the commitment to training an issue. In fact, I was talking about this morning. I love training, so that's not the problem. But getting back that running capacity has been, the game's going to be about running. It's going to be based around running. So if I can't run or I can't get up to that point that the girls are at, I'm going to be, a step behind. So that will be probably the greatest challenge for me. But in terms of the requirements with regards to skinnies or, doing two training sessions a day, that's quite easy for me.
Absolutely. Kate Sheehan with us in the studio. If you want to pose a question to Kate, 94291116. And we've seen the draw come out today. Collingwood Carlton, Friday, February 3, down there, at Olympic Park Oval. Gee, what a backdrop that'll be. Twilight fixture, the city in the background. We know how good it is for the month of tennis in and around Melbourne Park. I'm just trying to think of the crowd that might rock up that night and logistically how they'll work that. But that is a great start to the women's competition.
Oh, it's really exciting for us to be playing Carlton in that first round. When we had our induction with the club, they spoke to us about rivalries and how important footy clubs like Collingwood and Carlton and Richmond are to the suburbs. And so a lot of these lifelong supporters have now got another area for them to support, and then they can have another rivalry with Carlton, but now in the women's space. And, I think a lot of the girls are really looking forward to taking on Carlton and, challenging ourselves in that will be the biggest spectacle, I think, of the season, because the two biggest clubs in the league and biggest supporter bases. So come down to the Glasshouse or Olympic Park and watch. And I think it's great that it's free entry, because it will promote more people to come down and watch and see what's on offer.
Kate, when you were observing the formation of this league, and really it was probably brought forward 3 years, and Gillon McLachlan really led the charge there. So we've gone through, okay, what's the game going to look like? How many aside? What's a suitable payment for players, whether it's minimum wage or up to the marquee players? What have you sort of observed, and do you think Okay, I reckon we've ticked all the boxes here. For the opening season, obviously there's going to be a few things that are trialled and reviewed at the end of March, but do you think we've ticked enough boxes that this is going to look good? It's fair, the girls have been well looked after, the product's going to look good, we've got television support. Are you pretty happy with the way it's all sort of come together?
Oh, I think it's amazing how well it's been marketed and the backing from Channel 7 and Fox Footy to the fact that the games are going to be covered live and Fox Footy are going to cover every game and Channel 7 are going to cover every Saturday night game. I mean, who would have thought that would have happened 3 years ago?
No. Look at the BBL on, Primetime Channel 10, speaking of women's sport in general, tomorrow night. So it's a great opportunity for women's sport in general.
It's amazing. I think that it's created a lot of interest from young females who possibly were playing, your tennis or being athletes in athletics or whatnot. They can now look at AFL and say, well, the sport I once loved as a spectator, I can now participate in as an athlete.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be surprised. I read an article somewhere recently saying that other sports will have to watch out. And I genuinely believe that. Working in another sport, I think a lot of young females are thinking, this is now a pathway for me. So they're going to have to watch out.
Well, I'm keen to tap into your tennis mind because you've been around the sport a long time and I obviously am immersed in the tennis here. And I think I was reading an article in the Geelong Eddy yesterday where there's been a real reduction in women's players down there. And we know that, I want to talk about Daria Gavrilova, who you know very well, but generally the women's game, I suppose, is not quite peaking at the moment. There's a lot of good young girls that are on the horizon who might step up, and they need a few more years of development, so we can't rush that. But I suppose that's the issue for tennis, or certainly the challenge, to keep attracting young females to their sport with now the level of competition around.
Yeah, I think the major difference between footy and tennis is that footy's a team sport and tennis is an individual sport. Another thing that comes to mind is that to play tennis, you need a lot of money. I mean, these juniors these days are spending upwards of $400 or $500 a week in lessons. How can you sustain that unless you're from a wealthy family or your parents are, pretty much working to support your career?
There doesn't seem to be a way of sort of getting around that.
No, well, I don't think there is. I mean, the market drives the price of private lessons, and I think parents often feel like if they're restricting their son or daughter in private lessons, they're going to fall behind. I don't subscribe to that myself. I might be talking myself out of business here, but I've observed recently that the sport is driven more by the parents in terms of there has to be a coach on the court at the time to get the best out of the child.
Yep.
Whereas when I was growing up and a lot of my peers, we went and organised our own matches and we had that inner drive to make our careers happen. I don't remember going to the local tennis court every day with my dad standing there or my mum. I just did it because I wanted to.
Yep.
So I think that watching the kids these days, they have to have a lesson or there has to be a coach present. So there's not a lot of initiative there and, it starts to wear off, soon.
Kate Sheehan is our special guest who's going to be wearing the black and white for Collingwood of the new AFL Women's Competition for 2017. And it's been, I suppose, in and around the media for a long time, Kate, with your dad, Mike, of course, being so esteemed. I want to ask you just a generic question as we're getting to the tail end of 2017. What a year in sport. I mean, has it been another year like it when the underdog has prevailed across so many codes? I suppose it's probably easy to say in our backyard here, the Bulldogs, phenomenal. Is that the one that absolutely stands out for you as just someone who loves their sport, or is there one that tops that?
Oh, no, I think the Bulldogs definitely is the top of the tree. I was at the game, and to watch so many neutral supporters be so excited for another club, I hadn't actually seen that before.
No.
Everyone was excited. It was like it was a big party after the game because they couldn't believe this had happened. And all through the final series, everyone had kept saying, no, they can't do it. They can't do it. They can't do it. And they did it. And that was what was, I think, so exciting about the season that happened. But I think the other sporting thing that, if from a tennis point of view, is Andy Murray.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are really excited to see him get to world number one.
Yep.
I think his public persona is a little bit of a, a pommy sook, if I can say that, not get in trouble.
If people can just get past that, and yes, he gets criticised, no personality, but his tennis is breathtaking. I could sit and watch Murray every day of the week.
But the other thing is, no one works harder out there than he does. And he's actually one of the most liked players on tour. Mm. All of the junior guys, so Luke Saville, he lives at my house, and he says how often Andy will come and sit in the locker room with someone ranked around his ranking, so, you know, anywhere in the top 200, and have a 20-minute chat.
Yeah, good chat.
Yeah, and not a lot of the top players do that. Mm. So I think from the broader, you know, community, it was great to see him get to number one.
Speaking of tennis, you mentioned Luke. Daria Gavrilova, I mean, she was a recent nominee for the Newcomb medal, got to as high as 24. I think she finished about 25, had a great back end of the season. You know, we just think back, when we think back across the whole year, that January month when she won the Hopman, had a great run at the Australian Open. She won so many fans in Australia. I remember listening back to SC and they just loved her competitiveness and, you know, she'd recently become a citizen, of course. Where can she get to? And give us a bit of an insight into what drives her, because that's what we love. As Australian sports fans, we just want our sports people just to compete and give their all, and that's what she does.
Yeah, she is the ultimate competitor. She has a real self-belief in her own ability. And I watched her play Sharapova in Miami last year, and she beat Sharapova. Mm. And she sort of came from nowhere. I think she was outside of the top 100 at the time.
Yeah, she would. Last year, yes.
Yep. Yeah, so it was the second round. And
she went from about 230 odd to, what, 36?
Yeah, huge.
In 215.
Jump. Yeah, it was. And she won the WTA.
Best newcomer.
Best newcomer, that's right. And the commentator said to her on the court after the match, "Can you believe this happened?" And she said to him, "Yeah, I can, because I always believe that I can win. Mm. And there's not a player out there that I don't think I can beat." And you can't buy that attitude. You can't buy that self-belief. And I think that's what gets people over the line in the end, deep down knowing they're good enough to do it. Because you can have all the skill in the world, but if you doubt yourself, you won't get to where you want to be.
That is absolutely spot on. And what about for young Luke? I mean, I've had a lot to do with Luke. He did special comments with us on SEN, I reckon, a couple of summers ago. Great student of the game, really studies the game. Terrific, you know, junior career. And it's always tough making that transition. He's still obviously got a real upside in terms of his age. I went down to Traralgon a few weeks ago, watched the Challenger down there. So you get to see the full spectrum of how tough it is sometimes, futures, challenges, getting through to playing in front of those big crowds. But what path can you sort of predict for Luke in the next sort of, you know, 1 to 2 years?
I'm actually really excited for Luke at the moment. He's developed an enormous passion for golf.
Right.
Yeah, he's quite the professional Luke. He's, you know, early to bed, eats the right things, always does the right things. He's never late for anything.
Yeah.
And I think that he's tried to find a bit more balance in his career. So he's really found this passion for golf. He's going out, even when he's at tournaments now, if he can get out in the course and have a quick 9 holes.
Yep.
And I think that's really created an outlet for him away from tennis. And we're noticing that his results have improved since he's been doing that. And I think that he's starting to, you know, believe that he can do it. The proof will be in the pudding. He's got to get results. But I'm secretly, or, you know, quietly excited for his summer.
Yeah, look, I think when you compare the Australian players to anyone around the world, certainly we're there technically, we're there, you know, physically. It's always little margins in tennis, isn't it? I mean, it's a point here and there. It's, you know, missing a shot here and there. It's just like swimming. It's just such tiny little margins. I hope he gets there, because I think he's always had the game. He's got a great attitude to it. It doesn't guarantee you success, but, and there's all different ways of measuring success in tennis, because not everyone's going to get to world number one. It's just trying to build a solid enough career and also being able to sustain yourself on the tour, because it's not a cheap exercise.
No, it's quite difficult. And I think the jump from being a junior world number one to the ATP tour is quite enormous, because what you win on the junior tour by not missing a ball, as opposed to the men's circuit where you need a big weapon, or you need a couple, you need your forehand and your serve. So if they're not there, you know, it's hard to get over the line.